You've got episode 33 of the Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your favorite podcast host, Dr. Nick Sotelo, and I'm going to be bringing you the one and only Cash Wayne Campbell from New York City. That's a great name, Cash Wayne. And what he's going to be bringing us is his story from going from nightclub promoter, event promoter, to an ultra successful real estate investor and broker on the East Coast. Now, I don't know about you, but I love a story like this where somebody is starting from the bottom and working their way to the top and telling us how they did it. So if that's a story that interests you, how to go from zero to hero, pay attention to this show. Take it all in with Cash Wayne. Now, buckle in. Let's go for a ride. Hello. Thanks for tuning in to the Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. The Upgraded Life is my personal project where I help people realize and reach their potential. I've been a professional helper for 20 years. Here's what I'm convinced of. The life that you have right now and the life that you want tomorrow is a product of your personal mindset, mission, and movement. Each episode of the Upgraded Life podcast is going to give you something that you can do as soon as the episode is over to upgrade your personal mindset. Your mindset informs your mission. Your mission tells you how to move every single day. And together, that is the Upgraded Life. This is Dr. Nick Sotelo, and I'm here with the Upgraded Life podcast, and I'm excited to have Cash Wayne Campbell with me. We're on opposite coasts. He's on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. Hopefully, there's no rivalry there. We'll agree to be peaceful. And I'm excited for this because you've got a great story to tell. You have a going from the bottom going to the top, and I'm really interested in your take. You were featured in Yahoo Finance. Thanks for sending that article over to me, and I perused through it. But it really only scratched the surface, I think. So, Cash Wayne, I'm going to throw it over to you. Introduce yourself to me and my listeners. Tell us who you are, what you're doing, and what you're excited about right now.
Oh man, thank you, thank you for having me on the show. I'm here. I'm excited to speak with the Upgraded Life podcast, and I'm grateful to be here.
Perfect. So tell us what you do.
Yeah, well, I'm a real estate broker. I got started in real estate a little over 7 years ago. And once I got started in real estate, it kind of took off. Before, if we go back a little bit, before real estate, I was a club and concert promoter. That's what I did. Then I transitioned over to real estate. And as I transitioned over to real estate, it took off. I also started to build a team around me of like-minded individuals, because I believe, in also giving back. If you're not really, a winner until you're actually giving back some way, somehow, because it's one thing for us to make it, but also giving back, I feel, is so important.
Absolutely. And you're in New York, right?
Yes, I'm in New York. I'm in Long Island, New York.
Long Island. I actually have an aunt that lives in Long Island through marriage. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. Pretty suburb. It's a suburban area.
And are you from New York originally? Is that home for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm originally from Jamaica, the island, but I've lived here in New York. Over 20 since 1992. You can say I'm from here at this point.
Absolutely. So you came over when you were a child then from Jamaica?
Yeah. When I was a child, I was about 5 years old. My family wanted a better life for myself, better schooling, me to have just a better outcome in life, which is my drive today, which is one of my whys today. I didn't want to let everybody down. It's a lot of sacrifice to get me to this point,
Right. Awesome. And again, we're recording this. My last, 6 or 7 weeks of this, people have been in and out of this kind of COVID situation, right? So how's COVID been impacting you in your business right now?
Yeah, I mean, in real estate itself, COVID-19 has had quite an impact. It really has changed the way we do business. You know, we've seen the digital age coming in real estate, but we didn't know it was going to come this soon.
Right.
Because real estate, in a lot of ways, is still an old school industry. You know, it's straightforward. You come and meet me at the property. I drive around, you know, you come and meet me at the property. I show you the property, you put in an offer, or we scout for properties. You know, we've seen a little technology come in, but I think COVID-19 has really changed the way we do business all the way.
Right.
You know, now a buyer could literally go and see a property through Zoom, not even go there, but they can actually see a property through Zoom. You know, it slowed down the money because obviously you can't show as much. You know, agents were scared. They didn't know what was coming, you know, based on different, you know, news putting pressure out. You know, not saying that the news put pressure, but just, you know, just hearing all this stuff in the news and things of that nature. Agents were confused. They didn't know what to do. So it has slowed down our business a bit, but as of the last week or so, things are starting to get back to normal.
Yeah, thank goodness. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, some sort of normalcy. It's not going, it's not normal, but it's moving back in that direction.
Yeah.
And real estate hasn't dropped since.
That's good.
Yeah.
So walk us back. So out of high school, is that when you went into club promoting, or tell us how you got into club promoting?
Well, it's very weird. A lot of the things that I personally do, you know, people would see it in me and tell me to go for it, you know? So I read a book, and I always, you know, mention this book. It's by Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's called, you know, that's what it's called, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, author Robert Kiyosaki. I read that book, and that book really resonated with me. One thing Robert went over in that book is he had two dads. He had a rich dad and he had a poor dad. You know, one was a school teacher. The other one owned, I believe, factories in Hawaii. And he gave the comparison of what the rich teach their children and what the poor and middle class teach their children about when it comes to the education of money. So once I heard that, I said, I got to start a business. I was only 16 years old at the time. Like, I have to, you know, I'm so excited about what I just learned. I have to take action. So a friend of mine came to me one day, and it's so weird when you're looking for an opportunity, and sometimes an opportunity will find you once you put the energy out there. And a friend of mine came to me around that time, and he said, you know what, you should do teen parties because no one is doing them right now, you know? So I'm like, no, nobody would ever come to my events. He's like, yeah, you know, a lot of kids in the school, you know, you're very popular. You should do it. So I said, all right, cool. I'll give it a shot. I rented a venue, did my first event. I had at least, the cops came and shut the whole thing down.
Oh, man.
Like 1,000 kids. I had 500 inside and 500 outside. I overpromoted the event. I went to every school. And at the time, there was no competition. I was the only teen promoter at that point.
Sure.
So there was no parties for us. There were parties for adults, but there were no parties for us. So, you know, that's where kind of like my entrepreneurship career started from there.
Yeah. Who introduced you to that book?
Who introduced me to that book? I can't recall at this time. I think maybe I was searching online or something.
Sure.
And I came across the book, or someone probably mentioned, maybe one of the teachers or something.
Okay.
Mentioned it. Yeah. It could have been something like that. Yeah. I just don't remember at this point.
Sure. No worries. If you think about it, let me know. Cause you know, I was going to make a jab at the school system, and I was going to, you probably didn't learn about that in school, right?
Yeah. But you know, the weird thing about it though is I was always very driven, you know, at a young age. So I would have, you know, teachers in my school that would say, hey, you know, you should take a look at this publication, you should do that.
Right.
So I had, I always had older role models, which I think is so important at that age, and mentors.
True.
Who would see the energy and say, hey, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I always tell people at that age, I was like a superhero who had a lot of powers, but I just didn't know how to harness them. Because, at that age, it's vital, especially for young children, because, you know, that energy could go into bad things, too. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, because you can have the desire to do things and feel like no one is listening and put the energy into the wrong places. So I feel that happens with a lot of young people as well. So fortunately, I had a lot of good role models and mentors in my life who would give me advice. So I think that's how that book came about.
Perfect. And it's a great book. It's amazing how many people who, you know, build something entrepreneur-wise, business-wise, will credit that book as kind of what the spark for them. So
yeah, it was definitely a wake up call. And just being able to relate. I have, you know, working class parents, and they just wanted me to do the right thing, go to school, mm-hmm. go to college, which I did do, go to college, get a good education. But really what happens after that, you know, we have to do a little bit more, just sure. like how you're doing this podcast.
Right. And
you know, we have to do a little bit more in this society, you know?
Absolutely. What did you study in college?
I did business management.
Mm-hmm. And has that helped you in what you're doing now in real estate?
Yes. It has helped me with all the courses I've taken, marketing, accounting, you know, QuickBooks and psychology, because a lot of this stuff, especially in sales, man, you are also a therapist. Yeah. Unlicensed therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to talk someone off the ledge once they get an accepted offer, because we have what's called buyer's remorse,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is a psychological thing.
Yep.
Okay, a buyer could be looking with you for properties for months. They could be working with you guys. They're sending you properties, you're sending them properties. The minute they get an accepted offer, they can either start dodging your call, or saying, who, me? Because now the reality hits.
Right.
You're going to own a home.
Right.
You're going to have responsibilities. Yeah. You know, if you fail on this, if you miss a payment, if you miss three payments, the bank could take it back.
Right.
You know, this is the big American dream here. And we call it buyer's remorse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, all things psychology is definitely in my wheelhouse. And there's also people have written quite a bit about choice theory.
Yes.
When there's more choices in front of you, you're less likely to be satisfied with the choice that you actually make. Because your mind will start thinking.
Yeah. Your mind is thinking, hey, I could have got that. I could have
yes.
got this. I could have got yep. that. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you look at what you did decide to pick, and then you start thinking, well, those countertops they're not all that great. And look at the crack there. And then it just, you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's kind of a catch-22, because on one hand, you know, it is great to have choice. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But on the other hand, it's like,
yeah, sometimes having too much choice, like, you know, can be an issue.
Right.
You can't decide.
And I love your insight that you have around the work that you're doing there. And being
able You know, you have to, you have to love what you do.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to love what you do or create it, you have to create the environment around what you do. I have fun with sure. real estate.
Sure.
That's how I keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, pulling from your, the article that Yahoo did, and that's amazing in of itself, but you know, so it talks about how you went through this, promoter stage in your life and got to the point to where you realized it wasn't going to be the vehicle that was going to take you to where you wanted to go. So talk a little bit about that realization when, you know, being the promoter kind of ran its course for you.
Yeah. Again, in my life, as I said in the beginning, an opportunity shows up when you need it. Okay. right? An opportunity, you know, an opportunity shows up when you need it. And why I continue to say that is throughout my life, you know, things has shown up when I needed it. I was a club promoter. I did as much as you could do. I capped out. I did as much as you could do there. Did that for many, many years. But what I started to realize years down the line is that a lot of these people who started with me with the team jam days and things of that nature, they were getting married. Okay.
I got time for all that.
Huh?
They don't have time for all that.
They don't have time for all that anymore. So so now the next thing is, what are they doing now? They're getting married. You know, they're going to purchase homes now.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you have to transition. I've just really just transitioned with my crowd. They're going to now start to purchase homes.
Sure.
Because they're now married, and it's a crazy way to look at it, but it is just what happened. You know, I just transitioned. Yeah. I grew with them. Right. You know, when I called them now, it's like, I have houses for sale, but a friend of mine, Mr. Reese Kenshin, you know, told me, hey, you know, you're doing the club promotions, you should start to maybe get into real estate, because he was doing real estate. And he said, you should start to do real estate. You'll make a lot more money, because I was doing the club thing, but I was making money. But he felt, hey, if you start to do real estate, you're still promoting and marketing, but you're promoting and marketing bigger items with a bigger markup. Mm-hmm. So you'll obviously make more money. So you can still do the same thing that you're doing there with the promotion and marketing, but just do it where you promote and market a house where you get a lot more money.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that there's a incredible wisdom in what you did there too. Meaning that, you know, I'm a believer that we're always selling. You know, there's some people that believe that, oh, sales isn't for me, but we're always selling something, right? Even if you don't get a direct commission for it.
Yeah.
And for you to take the people that you were selling to, you know, early in different phases of your life and just shifting, you know, the product, so to speak. I mean, that's a real wise, you know, strategy for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, once you have an audience, there's so much that you can do. You know, I even think of different things like, you know, doing a wine, you know, like a wine brand, where at closings we give those away. So there's so much room to grow once you have your audience and everything like that, you know. But a lot of people get stuck in being, they get comfortable where they are and they don't want to grow. But you just have to see the opportunity. And sometimes the opportunity is right in front of you. So that's what happened with the promotion, the promotional days and real estate. It was just an opportunity for growth that just happened to fall on my lap, and I had to take advantage of it.
So my boys, I have a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old boy, and they're active in sports and they play at kind of a higher level than rec sports. And so we're tournaments and traveling and new uniforms. And so they got to make money. They got to do fundraisers. And
yeah.
So we push them out there to do that as much on their own as they can, versus mom and dad writing them a check, you know. And what I've told my oldest is, you need to keep a black book of all the people that you've sold flowers to, all, you know, all these things, because every time they see your face, they are used to buying something from you.
Absolutely. And that's, that right there is so important. It's building a database of people. You know, I have in my phone book today, I never delete phone numbers. You know, probably some of these numbers in this phone today are just old, but you know, I believe there's a reason why you meet everyone.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you meet a person, you know, and it could be, I met someone 10 years ago and they happen to see me come up on Instagram and they see I do real estate. You know, that thing in their head, they remembered me. They liked and trust me at that time. So they're going to most likely, I would say they're probably 85% more likely to do business with me if they've come across me, you know, at some point in their life.
Yeah.
So yeah. I believe in that, you know, the databasing and building the relationships, you know?
Absolutely. So I'm going to make a joke. It may not be funny. So when you're like, you know, hitting your 70s, are you going to be selling caskets?
I don't know yet, man. We have to see, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny though. Yeah. Right?
So gotta fall in the crowd, right?
It's an older crowd.
You're right. So what was it? Home by that time. What was it like for you to make that jump into real estate initially? I mean, real estate is one of those things where it really depends on me, myself, and I, right? And obviously having good people around you, but it's something that you have to jump into and be ready for the grind. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I think, not think, but let me be straightforward here. It was really I would say from that to this, it was really a smooth transition. A lot of people embraced it. I actually didn't know what to expect. But as I promoted, hey, I'm in real estate now, people just started calling. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, my cousin wants to sell. My cousin wants to rent something. My cousin, my daughter is moving out. She wants to buy something. You know, my network just embraced me. Because they knew me from the party scene. I was trustworthy. They liked and trusted me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they started to, and I have people who start to spread the word, you know, well, if you're going to buy something, you got to do it through him. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of my business today is referral, but it was an easy, to get back to your question, it was a really easy, smooth, it was a smooth transition, in other words.
Sure. And yeah, so, and that makes sense because you had that foundation already set, right? I mean, probably the hustle and grind.
Yeah. And it was even worse because I had to stay out late at night and have to be, you know, sometimes just not in the best places, you know, passing out flyers and things like that.
Sure.
But it was just, you know, it was amazing. Just making that transition, and a lot of the people, you know, who I associated with back then, you know, wanted to also get started in real estate as well.
Sure.
So that also helped me to build a team pretty fast.
Sure.
You know, but if you're a promoter, man, if you are a natural marketer, you can do anything, you know. Sure. But it wasn't easy. It was definitely something that I really had to work on.
Right. When did you jump into that? What year was that into real estate?
Into real estate. Was that, I believe, was it 14? Yeah, about like, let me see. Yeah, I believe between at the end of 14 going into 15.
Gotcha.
Around then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so about that.
So the big crash had happened and quite a bit of rebound had occurred and whatnot. I was just kind of curious. There's a lot of people that, you know, really kind of springboarded off the 2008 crash in a lot of different ways. I've been listening to folks. And so I just was curious kind of where you fell into that.
Well, I can say this. In 2008, I used to do a little bit of real estate, like calling, because a friend of mine heard me say I was doing it 7 years. He said, that's a lie. You actually been doing it longer. So let me clear that up, right?
Sure.
If he ever listens to this,
no liars.
He'll say, you're telling people you're going to get to where you're at. It's going to be 7 years for them to get to where you're at. It's actually been longer than that. Mm-hmm. So let me get my friend Tone. Let me clear this up for you. Back in the 2007s, 2008s, I used to make real estate calls, okay? Mm-hmm. Meaning calling homeowners who are in distress, calling for mortgage leads, things like that. Yep. Earlier. I got my license officially in about 2014, 2015. Okay. But I did see a little bit of that, the crash and stuff like that. I wasn't full time in real estate, but I did see what the damage, was and how it just knocked a lot of people out of the business. So sure. I was kind of still in real estate around that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
Are you still a reader now? I mean, do you still read to, you know, improve your game and inform what you're doing?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I still I have like my little library here where you know, I have a bunch of books. One of the books I'm reading right now is called Building an Empire. Mm-hmm. It is actually a book based on like network marketing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just reading and learning a little bit on that. It's called Building My Empire.
I read that book too.
Yeah, oh, you did. Oh, you did. Yeah. So it's a really good book about building teams and things of that nature. Yeah. I don't care what industry it is. I consume content, sure. You know, and I try to internalize the content.
Absolutely. Have you ever run across a book called Blue Fishing?
No, I have not. Okay. I have not.
I'm going to send you a copy of it, my friend.
Yes, please. Yeah.
It's a story almost identical to yours in terms of somebody that started out being a club promoter. And he's now that guy that you call if you want anything in this world, literally.
Oh, wow. What's his name?
Steve Sims.
Okay. I have to check Steve out. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You can send it over.
Absolutely. And
I'll read that one. Definitely.
It's a great book, and it's kind of story based. So it's a fun read too, because everything in the book is real. It came out of his life. So.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we move on to the next question, I just want to just, cause this just came to my mind as you asked me about 2008.
Yeah.
What I learned, when the market dips, right? What agents have to do is work as hard as you can when the market is up. One of the things that agents also have to do is to also buy like investment properties and things like that, where you have residual income coming in. Let's say you have, you know, you buy a four family, you have residual income coming off of those assets. But just try to work as much as hard as you can, so when the market does dip, all of these different things that you own, you're making money off of it. COVID-19, for instance, was a wake-up call, you know, for a lot of people. It didn't knock people out of the business such as 2008 did, 2009, but it's a wake-up call that even though the market is good, you can't just relax and just have the mindset of, I'm making money, and I'm not preparing if the market doesn't do well.
Sure.
You know, go ahead, sir.
No, the lesson there is multiple streams of income, right? I mean,
if you're
a real estate agent and your primary source of income is you closing deals, then COVID-19, you know.
Absolutely. So the point is work in real estate, but work as hard as you can, you know, and that money that you're making in real estate, invest into, you know, investment properties, things like that. Right. You know, when COVID-19 hit, yeah, the real estate brokering slowed down, but I also have investment properties where even if, you know, I still made income off of those investment properties, you know, so that's just what I'm my advice to the agents is that, you know, work as hard as you can. You know, bust your butt, work as hard as you can, and use that money to invest, to buy, you know, lucrative investments that actually make money.
Sure. And, you know, anything that's kind of service industry based, it's easy to make money when the economy is going good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you may be, you know, knocking numbers out. You may be getting your face in the magazines that go out that are, you know, attached to your industry. And that can be easy when, like I said, when the economy is flush and people are looking to grow and expand. But when it dips down, that's when the true professionals come out, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once the market dips, you know, I've even during this particular, and this was something small,
right?
You know, I've seen brokers, you know, lose their offices during this time, you know, going and I'm, you know, letting them know about different things that they can do to get back afloat, you know. So I've seen what can happen, you know. 2008, I wasn't fully in, but this I was fully in.
Right. Yeah.
But this I feel was a lesson. This was 3 months,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if you can't keep up with no income for 3 months, then you know that's a problem. You know what I mean? If, as a real estate agent,
sure.
If there's no, if this was just 3 months, you know, so we had people who couldn't keep up for those 3 months. So that means that you need to work harder. If you get what I'm saying, you know,
absolutely.
If you know,
yeah, I mean, this may have caught you once, right? Fool me once, but fool me twice. That's on you, right?
You hit it right on the head.
Right. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what do you think has been the biggest, you know, in the 7+ years, right? I don't want to take off tone, but what do you think has been the biggest thing that you've learned thus far when you look at, you know, 2008, you know, doing calls for leads to now that you are the established and successful broker? What's been one of the biggest things that you've learned in that time frame?
One of the biggest things I've learned that time frame, it's very simple, man. Consistent work, yeah. work.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. And work like as if you are a new agent.
Work
with
like
nothing, with no deals in the pipeline. Work. Make your calls. You know, no excuses. That's one thing that I've learned. You know. You can't relax. And I've had my times where I've relaxed.
Right.
And then it just doesn't turn out so well, you know.
Right.
So working consistently is one of the biggest things that I've learned, you know,
sure.
in this business.
One thing that I've heard is, you know, work on the first day of the month like it's the last day of the month.
Exactly. So it's the same. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think is next for you in terms of, you know, what is the next thing, the next level for you when you look at your real estate business and what you have going on? What's stretching you right now?
Yeah, I mean, the next level right now, I feel, you know, it's really to do more business. I'm also doing a real estate mentorship program where, you know, I do it for people online. I get a lot of people who do reach out to me on like Instagram, Facebook, et cetera. So I've put together, you know, a real estate mentorship program, pretty much coaching for agents who would like to take their business to the next level. So that's really what I've been working on, but I enjoy the regular day-to-day brokering real estate.
Sure. who do you look up to in the industry?
Who do I look up to in the industry? That's a good question. I look up to, I think Ryan Serhant is good. You know, he does some amazing work with what he, you know, the stuff that he does. Also, Grant Cardone is good. I think, I love his energy.
Right. I've read all his books.
Yeah. So it's more like people would look at, I look at more like the personality and stuff like that, because ultimately that's what I want to develop. I think he always has like a positive outlook on things,
sure.
no matter what people are saying.
Right.
You know, I had also my broker, Reese Kenshin, who's taught me the business. I look up to him. And, yeah, those are pretty much the three right there, you know, that I would say that I admire in the business, you know.
I could definitely see the Cash Wayne jet flying through the air.
Right? Yeah. One day, right?
Right, one day.
Yeah. So that's
So in terms of your personal real estate investment, are you all across the states? Are you international? Like, what have you been able to do personally with how you've been able to invest in real estate?
No, I'm right here in New York. You know, I do plan on, you know, doing things in different states. Mm-hmm. This was actually the year when I said, hey, I want to start traveling different places. Gotcha. But you know, as soon as you think of something amazing, something happens. But
yeah,
I do a lot of my investments primarily here, Long Island, Queens. That's where the properties I own are. Yeah. And I do plan on going to different areas and looking around for properties. I get calls from people all the time. Hey, you need to come to Texas. You need to come here. So I'm just weighing my options at this point.
Yeah. And it, you know, my mind just went there because of Grant Cardone. You know, he wasn't always a real estate guy at all. And, you know, but he wanted to go that route and kind of set that goal. And I can't remember how many doors he said he wanted, but he wanted some big amount of doors, right? 10x the amount of doors. And, you know, he did that by buying apartment complexes all over, you know, that, you know, were good investments in different states. So I didn't know if you were tipping into that, looking for, you know, particular types of properties in different states that kind of make sense in terms of the investment.
Yeah. I think apartment complexes are amazing. You know, it's like the stuff I own here are like two families, three families, things of that nature. So I feel, you know, moving into that arena is amazing because, you know, it's more rents and things of that nature. Right. You know, that's why he focuses on it. But he was a car salesman before.
Yeah. Really? Couldn't tell.
Yeah. That's what Grant did. Grant Cardone was he sold cars.
Yeah.
Prior to real estate.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, just he does different states, but I think just finding the right state to really start to invest in is important because you just don't want to throw your money anywhere, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Another book that came to my mind when you were talking was Financial Freedom by Grant Sabate. Have you ran across that book?
No, I'm going to write that one down. It's financial freedom, you said?
Yep.
Okay.
By Grant Sabate.
Grant Sabate, okay.
Yep. And he's a millennial and, you know, came out of college and started doing a job related to, I think it was something to do in some kind of cubicle work, right? But he just realized that it wasn't for him. And long story short, he set a goal for him to be financially free by the time he hit 30. So I think he was 26 or 27. And he did it. He was able to stock away, you know, what he teaches is, you know, do everything you can to get $3 million in the bank. Cause then you can, the interest off of that will allow you to live, you know, basically financially free. And, but he did it mostly through stocks and trading. But what he's out there right now telling people, because I think he's on a tour, his book's relatively new. It's only at the most, it's 2 years old at the most, it may only be a year and a half old. But what he's telling people now, if he were to do it all over again, and what he teaches now is to do that through real estate. So, you know,
okay,
build up your financial freedom through real estate, and because the opportunity is greater, it's more available, more accessible versus stock trading. I mean, you've got to be a particular type of person to be able to kind of be disciplined enough for that.
Yeah. One of the amazing things about real estate is that, you know, you can find something with equity, you know, you can buy something, let's just say the property has 400,000 equity in it, and you can actually pull from that equity. Now you're 400,000 liquid, you know, so real estate is very important in regards to building wealth, I think, you know?
Absolutely.
There's a lot that you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people who are going to hear this, right, lots of different people that plug into this show because it is a mindset show. And maybe for those that are interested in real estate, what would you encourage them to do as kind of the initial steps?
Well, the first step, I would say, you know, get the real estate license, you know, sign up for the course, get the real estate license. Once you get the license, just find a great brokerage that can work with you, that can, you know, mentor you and get you to the next level. But the main thing first is really just to sign up for the courses. Even if you're going to be an investor, I always tell people, you know, some people will advise otherwise, but I always tell people, you know, you want to get the license, learn the business, do a few transactions, and then take it to the next level, you know? Sure.
And I appreciate that, right? I mean, basically what I heard is do it the right way.
yeah, exactly. No, you know,
there's a lot of ways that you can kind of get into this, but.
Absolutely. And I recently, behind me here, I recently released a book. It's called How to Get Started as a Real Estate Investor. Oh. I can send you this one as well.
Perfect.
Definitely. And in the book, I speak about becoming licensed first. You don't want someone to give you $100,000. You have a really good relationship. They give you $100,000. Next thing you know, you don't know what you're doing. You blow the $100,000. And now you messed up a good relationship. Rather than going getting your real estate license, learning the business, then, you know, accepting money to do a deal, so that, and you can get the deal done the right way if you know what you're doing. So that's why, you know, I wrote this book. A lot of people usually call me, especially off the YouTube videos. Hey, how do I get started as an investor? I watch your short sale video. What do I do now? What's the next step? So. And I decided to put a book together, How to Get Started as a Real Estate Investor, which helps, you know, it's not the guy who's going to buy 60 units. It's really the guy who's working a 9-to-5.
Yep.
He's just curious. He may want to have some retirement money put aside, you know, put aside, and he wants to leave something for his children as well. So he says, hey, I want to buy a second house.
Sure.
You know, I want to buy a third house. So it's really more designed for the working man.
Sure.
Woman who wants to do something extra.
Right. That true multiple streams of income, right? Or at least the opportunity.
Yes.
For that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because not every American, you know, has the resources to go out there and buy, you know, a 10 unit building.
Yeah.
But they may, a husband and wife may have the resources to get a second or a third property, sure. You know? So yeah. In the book, it's really just simple information designed for the guy who knows nothing about real estate, who just wants to learn about what it's like to flip a property, yeah. What he should look out for, right. Things like that.
Yeah, a lot of people lose it. A lot of people lose it on a flip, right?
Exactly. So yeah. I'll give you a quick story. When I bought my first investment property, I had a situation happen that I didn't know would happen, all right? So I bought the property. I rented out the property. I had my tenant on the main floor. One day he's calling me and saying that he smells something stink coming from the basement. He just doesn't know what it is. He smells something stink. I'll make a long story short. I go over there, open the door. The entire sewage backed up downstairs. So now I have feces and everything in the basement. But what I did not know is in New York or wherever, you need to have this snaked maybe every 6 months or once a year, you need to have that main sewage line snaked. I didn't know that. So that cost me money, right? So right. These are the type of things I put in the book.
Sure.
It's just based on my own experience. Hey, you need to have your sewage line snaked.
Yep.
You know, you need to, you know, when you're building a team to work with, you need to make sure you have the right contractor. How do you find the right contractor? Mm-hmm. An accountant to do your taxes. So you're not hit with all of these taxes once you do your first flip. So these things are important. It's just things that I personally went through that I put in the book.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And that book's available right now?
Yes, available right now. It's on www.cashwaygamble.com or for the hard copy right now, you can actually go onto Amazon.com for the hard copy.
And I'll be sure to put those links in my show notes as well.
Definitely.
You mentioned you had a mentor program. Is that something that's official and live?
Yeah. It's official and live. It's actually on the website, www.cashmancampbell.com. You just go to the website, you just click program, and it will take you directly to the website.
Sure. So somebody like me goes there and hits program. What am I going to expect? Wait, what's this program about?
Well, the first thing is you're going to get a free training, a free master class on short sale, pre-foreclosure short sales, exactly how they work, what they are, et cetera. So, about a 45-minute training there. From there, they get the opportunity to book an appointment with me for more, for more information regarding the mentorship.
Awesome. And again, I mean, for somebody to say, they watch the webinar, they learn a bunch of awesome stuff about short sales, and then they book that call with you. And again, what should they expect when they get on the line with you?
Pretty much once you get on the line with me, we are just discussing exactly what your needs and wants are, what your goals are, the time frame of when you're looking to hit those goals. Another thing is we then schedule 4 calls, which is the 4 mentorship calls in the beginning. Some people say they need more than 4 calls, so we schedule it out. I have people right now who are scheduled out for 6 months. So it's just really, once you get to me, we put together a plan on how often we're going to, come together. Sure. To help you to meet those goals. That's pretty much what it is.
And is the goal of that program to help somebody close their first deal, or what's the intent there?
Well, to close their first deal, if you're an existing agent, also to help you to close more deals. So that's really what it's designed for. It's a series of phone calls that we do. Mm-hmm. Once a week for awesome. 4 weeks.
And I know for a fact that there's lots of people out there, Cash Wayne, that are doing programs and online courses and things that are similar. What makes you and what you do unique, different, compared to anybody else that they may run into?
One thing, I still sell real estate.
That's so true, right? They're so true.
That's one thing. I don't rely on these programs to make money. I still sell real estate. Yeah. So the beautiful thing about that is a lot of the problems that you encounter, I encountered them too, and I overcame them. Right. Just like the book. I wrote in there because there's things that I personally went through when I bought my investment properties. Sure. Right? It's like sometimes I put my videos out, and people say, I was just thinking that. How did you think about that? I was just coming up with that because I still sell real estate.
Yeah.
So if a seller just hung up on me this morning.
Right.
So these are things, that's what makes it so different. And people relate to me a bit more because the things that I'm speaking about or I'm training on are things that they're actively going through. True. A lot of these guys who are online, who are selling these programs, they didn't do well in real estate, so they decided to become a teacher, where there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just a different level when someone actually was successful and is still successful in real estate, and they can train you to do what they did. And most people aren't going to give you the secrets if they're still doing it. That's how it works. If a lot of the times,
right?
If they're still doing it actively, and they're not willing to give you the secrets, just how it works.
Yeah. No, I love that. The biggest difference about you is I'm still selling real estate.
Yeah, true. Some of these guys, believe it or not, have never even sold real estate.
Sure.
That's the crazy part. I don't know how someone can train me. to do something that they haven't necessarily really
right.
done themselves. How do you know that it works?
Absolutely. That's refreshing, my man. I hope people that plug into this show, and if they're interested in that, you know, if they make it to you, they're going to be talking to somebody who not only has the knowledge, but he's executing on it every single day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this, you know, my show, The Upgraded Life, is about helping people get to that next level in their life. And my belief is it's critical to have that mindset in place. And so what I ask people on my show, Cash Wayne, and you've done it throughout this whole talk, and you've said that when you need it, an opportunity will be there, or an opportunity will come. And I believe that to be true as well. But I also know in the work that I've done with people is that there's far too many people that are stuck in their grind, and they don't believe that. Like, they don't believe that an opportunity exists or an opportunity will come their way, because that's where mm-hmm. they're stuck in their mindset. So somebody who hears your credibility, hears your genuineness, and they want to believe that, what would you tell them? You know, somebody who's stuck in, like, I don't know what an opportunity is. I haven't seen one yet. What would you tell them?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I would say, you know, the first thing is having a positive mindset, because you have to allow positivity to enter. Okay. If you are just filling your mind with negative thought in the subconscious, right? You know, because again, we can say that we're positive, but in our subconscious, we're really negative, you know, right. that negative thought, you know, you have to allow positive thoughts to come in. It's like my relationship used to be with money. I used to be tight with money. That was my relationship. I used to be tight with money. But as I started to allow money to flow out, I noticed that a lot more came in.
Sure.
I was able to do investments, different things. So as I put more out, a lot more came in. So I would say the first thing really, guys, here is just really having a positive mindset and allowing the positivity to enter. Because the opportunity could be right in front of you, but you just don't see it.
Sure.
No. So it's something real quick. It's something as simple as the sneaker laces. Okay. You could be tying your sneakers every day, but you're not seeing the opportunity, but there's a little plastic tip that sneaker lace may need. You know what I'm talking about? The sure. little plastic tip yep. on the sneaker lace.
Yeah. It's right? hell when you lose one.
So someone seeing that, but there's a lot of opportunities in front of us, but we have to have a positive mindset to allow this, to allow the imagination and different things to enter our mindset.
Mm-hmm. So do what you can to tell me one way that somebody can begin to allow their mind to accept positivity.
To allow their mind to accept positivity. I mean, the first thing I would say is, you know, as you read, the one thing is reading, having dialogue with others. Sorry, the office phone was ringing here. having dialogue with others and just being open-minded about certain things. You know, what I'm trying to say is don't close. Just close everything off, because when you're saying to me, hey, you know, no opportunity is out there, I don't see anything, what you're doing is you're just closing everything off. So I would say be a little bit more open-minded as you're, you know, you read material, mm-hmm. you have conversations with others, just be open-minded. That's sure. one thing that a person can do.
I love that. Yeah. So one of the best ways to maybe, you know, be open to it is be aware of the times when you're being closed off to things, right? And just say,
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, my friend Cash Wayne, I appreciate you so much for being on the show.
Yes.
I know that I benefited from it, and I know my listeners will as well. And I hope somebody who is been interested, or you know, has an idea that maybe additional income stream is out there for them, that they connect with you. I think you're the man that can help a lot of people get where they want in this life through the beautiful real estate.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate you having me on the podcast. It was definitely amazing.
Perfect. We'll see you next time.
All right.
I just love hearing a story like Cash Wayne's because it's the epitome of the upgraded life. It's about taking account of where you are, creating a vision for where you want to be, and getting after it every single day so that your goals are realized, so that your potential is realized and reached. And Cash Wayne did just that. Now, if real estate investing interests you, then I highly encourage you to go over to his website and get his free report on how to become a real estate investor. That's a huge, generous offer that he's given. If you remember, he did it kind of for a selfish reason because people kept asking him and it kept taking his time away from actually doing deals, that he thought, I might as well put this out there so that people can just have it. And then whenever somebody asks me, I can just give it to them. That's a huge strategy. I love it. So generous. So go over to his website, get that report if you're interested in becoming a real estate investor. My website is www.nicksotelo.com/TUL podcast, the Upgraded Life Podcast. While you're over at my website, don't forget to check out the three opportunity buttons at the very top. They are scheduling a time with me. I'll give you a free 30-minute strategy session. Checking out CBD products from Nature's Ultra. And then also, if you're looking to create an additional stream of income, I can help you out with that too. This takes 20 minutes of your time. Click on the button that says Income Boost. Give me your name and email, and I'll send you a presentation. Thank you again so much for listening to my show, the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm dedicated to this show because I've seen too many people live a life that just really wasn't about realizing and reaching their potential. So if you listen to this show and you were somehow, some way inspired to take action, let me know by going over to Apple Podcasts, leave me a 5-star review, and that will tell me that you enjoyed the show. This is Dr. Nick Sotelo, and I'm urging you to do something today to realize and reach your potential, and I'll catch you on the next show.